Caribbean radio show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and we are here for Mental Health Awareness Month. This is episode 2, a series we're doing with Dr. Kendra Flores Count Carter. sorry, tripping on my words. today we're going to be talking about the psychological effects of domestic violence. So both on women, men, and on youth, that unfortunately is a big problem in our society these days. So this is a radio station for Soul Adventures Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, empowering youth to discover their gifts, share them with the world, and gain strength through reconnecting with their community. We're also working to bridge the gap between youth and elders to ensure ancient wisdom is carried forward to the next 7 generations. So we started in LA. We have programs in Mount Shasta, Jamaica. We've been working in Jamaica for the last 15 years, and we're currently in development on some. Oh, and we do have some programs going in St. Croix, and we are in the works developing some programs in Florida and Belize. And Kendra is Dr. Flores Carter.
We're friends, so it's hard.
So many years, it's hard to me. But she does deserve that honor. It's been an amazing journey. Kendra and I met each other while working at La Casa Mental Health, which is a locked psychiatric institution in Long Beach. And at that point, I have a master's in clinical social work. And at that point, Kendra was just in undergrad at UC Dominguez Hills. And it's just been amazing to watch her journey and watch her unfold. While we were working at La Casa, that's where the idea came up for Soul Adventures Foundation. If you listen to our previous show, you know we talked a little bit about her aunt, who was living in Belize and had a mental illness, and we're not going to get into the whole story right now, maybe later on, but unfortunately she was killed as a result of law enforcement just not really standing mental illness and how to deal with people with mental illnesses. And it really came to our awareness, you know, how much there needed to be education in regards to mental illness in the Caribbean community. So that's how Soul Adventures came about. Kendra has been one of my founding board members from the get-go, which has been amazing. And then now she got her master's, got her PhD, is a professor, has written books, has written textbooks, and now she started her own nonprofit also called Janet Don't Cry in honor of her aunt. She, as I said, she's a founding member of Soul Adventures Foundation. She's also published author, professor, researcher in social and behavioral sciences field, typically centered on women and children's health. She's an advocate for social justice and change. She's dedicated her career to bringing educational awareness to disparities or inequities in the healthcare experience. And some of the other psychosocial effects marginalizing women and children. There is so much she's done. You guys don't even understand. Her CV is like pages long. So I'm not going to do the whole thing today. I'm doing a little cliff notes today. But yeah, if you would like more information about Dr. Kendra Flores Carter, you can find her on both Facebook, Instagram. I believe you're on LinkedIn as well, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah. So yeah, there's all kinds of places you can find her on the internet if you want to learn more. But welcome, Kendra. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I do believe that, you know, our friendship really, you know, grew. I mean, I met you as this 22-year-old. I'm about to be 42, so we've been friends for almost 20 years, Rosie. Can you believe
that?
I know. It's a long time, and it's just been amazing to watch you grow with your nonprofit and to see you in Caribbean countries, you know, which I have a passion for all over, and to see you there, it's really amazing in so many ways to be able to get to, you know, grow with you with this nonprofit. So I'm excited. I really want to talk about the experiences of, you know, domestic violence today in Caribbean countries, because it's such a huge, huge issue within our community that we often overlook or don't pay a lot of attention to, how it affects, you know, or young children, how it affects families. And so thanks again for bringing me on to really talk about and educate our Caribbean communities about this particular issue within, you know, our communities. So thanks.
For sure. Before we jump into the topic of today, I just want to give a few other kind of announcements, highlights, some different projects Soul Adventures is working on right now. We do have a Smile for a Child campaign going on, which is an online auction of artwork that's smiley faces. And Smile for a Child project, we are selling these paintings and also calling for other artists to paint some smiley face paintings and contribute those to the campaign. But the reason we're doing this is to raise funds to get tablets for youth in Jamaica. There are so many children being left behind educationally these days, with a lot of the classrooms going online and kids not having access to the technology to keep up with where their schools are going, whether open or closed, with the whole COVID situation. And yeah, so that campaign is to raise funds to get tablets for kids in Jamaica. We're also doing a call out to visual artists. If anyone wants to do anything around the theme of a smiley face or making a child smile, if that inspires anything in you artistically or even musically. We did have the idea to put a call out to musical artists if anyone would like to donate a song around smiling, and doing a whole campaign that travels, you know, around the country and around the world with this platform. You know, you can put a smile on your wall, or, you know, hear about smiles through your stereo or through your phone these days. I guess I'm kind of old school. I guess not that many people use stereos anymore, but so is my age, I guess. But yeah, if there's anybody who's inspired to do a painting or write a song to help us raise funds to make a child smile, feel free to reach out. You can reach us on Facebook. We are Soul Adventures Foundation, SOLADVENTURES. So it's soul with an S-O-L. Some people, that mixes them up. And we are adventurers because we are adventuring with the youth. We are also on Insta. We also have a website, which is www.souladventures.org. And then just two other things, or actually one other thing I want to highlight right now, which is I want to big up an organization that is umbrellaing under us right now called Reiki Without Borders. They, their inspiration is to spread Reiki, which is an art of using healing energy, if you're not familiar with it. But we would like to see that get spread far and wide and be accessible to those that may not otherwise be able to afford getting attuned in this healing art. And we also are umbrellaed with Bush Life Jamaica, which is another program similar to ours in Jamaica that does great work empowering the youth. And we will have a retreat coming up there in September. So I'll let you know a little bit more about that as that comes up. We also are going to be offering a summer program in Mount Shasta, doing gardening and drumming. We will be bringing through some African drummers and dancers, Tai Chi, a few various different programs. There's going to be Reiki workshops. So that's kind of what's happening here at Soul Adventures Foundation. So back to the theme of the day and Miss Kendra over here. And we're going to start talking about some of the psychological effects of domestic violence. So where should we start, Miss Kendra?
Yeah, well, first I want to share that my my beloved little Arlie Kay will be donating some smiley faces. So she's been working on them, and she's excited to share her artwork for such a good cause for Soul Adventures, to give back to children and to really help, you know, them get tablets that they need. Because I definitely know how difficult it is, you know, growing up when you need something and you're uncertain whether or not you'll be able to, you know, get it. And so I do encourage you all to please reach out and offer some donation of your smiley faces or even just in-kind donation to the organization, because it's definitely working to help support children in the Caribbean who needs the help. Alrighty, so yes, let's talk about domestic violence. I do believe that in the Caribbean, we have a culture that sometimes, in not a good way, promotes domestic violence as if it's okay. I mean, it's really sad to say that, but if we look at it, we grow up in a society where male is always seen as the person who makes the decisions in the home, and the woman is seen as really the follower of what the man says. And sometimes we as women, we often, you know, fall into that role of just being the mother and the follower, which I do think that is not okay, right? And we don't often have voices. I think as women growing up in the Caribbean, it's hard to have a voice. And so women often end up feeling like there is no way out, right? The lack of resources, I mean, going to your mother or going to your parents and kind of explaining the situation, you'll probably most likely get, it'll work out and, you know, God will make it work out for you. And, you know, your family needs to stay together regardless of what's going on. And so oftentimes you're not encouraged to say, hey, I want to get out of the situation because of such this cultural belief that families need to stay together and that the man is the glue. He holds the family together and you kind of have to deal with whatever it is that goes on in your home and keep it in there. But when women are being abused, it's like it's affecting not only her, but also the children and the family unit, right? And we need to look at those psychological consequences of that and really examine culturally how we sometimes contribute to a patriarchal society that put women second, right, to a man.
So true.
Yeah. So some of the negative impacts that I've seen in the home is really children that are growing up to be socially awkward. You know, they are really suffering from like things like anxiety, fear, depression, you know, because they're trying to understand what's going on with their parents. You know, why are they behaving like that? And we know children often blame themselves for what's going on in the household. So, you know, it's really significant enough for us to really talk about it and really let the community know and let, you know, our leaders know the importance of addressing this, because these kids grow up to be perpetrators as well. And what we do know is children who are exposed to domestic violence, it really is associated to like a range of different types of problems emotionally, behaviorally, and even social problems as they grow older. And so that alone should be the reason why we want to address, because the outcomes is not good, especially if children are consistently growing up in an environment where they're exposed to domestic violence all the time.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting in the community, you know, and it's not only in the home. You know, I experienced, you know, living a good deal of time in Jamaica that, you know, it happens all over the place because of the lack of income, the lack of resources. Like, unfortunately, I've seen this situation way too many times where the taxi drivers are taking advantage of these young girls who maybe don't have fare to get to school or to get home from school. And so, you know, they say, oh, do this for me, do that for me. We won't get explicit here, but, you know, you can figure out, you know, some of the bribes and things go on. But, unfortunately, you know, it's not only in the home. They get exposed to it all over the place.
You're exactly right, almost to the point where it's like, this is normal, right? So, number one, you've grown up in the environment. You've seen violence in your home. And then you go into the community and you're experiencing violence in a way that really sexual violence or, you know, emotional or mental, you know, abuse and things like that, to where you really just think as a person, this is normal for you to accept. It's a normal way of life when it really isn't. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. And I'm happy to be able to really expand on this platform, because for anyone who's listening, if you're ever in that situation, just know that you're not alone. You know, the statistics is that there is like around the world, you know, about 1 in 4 or 5 women, or I believe it's probably less than that, you know, in Caribbean countries that experience domestic violence in the household, right? And the thing about this is that children who live in these homes have a greater risk of experiencing neglect, physical and or sexual abuse. So again, it domestic violence is not only violence, but it also opens up like this can of like worms of so many different things, like child neglect and physical abuse of the child, sexual abuse of the child, you know, and that opens up the, you know, the kids experiencing that then opens up another thing where it's like, now these kids are experiencing psychological issues, you know, so it's like typical of so many different things that's happening to the family unit, creating significant exposure to trauma and things that could definitely have a family broken, you know, dysfunctional, right, and create this generational cycle of violence within that particular family unit for years to come if it's not addressed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it just keeps repeating over and over again until, you know, until there's that brave soul who, you know, addresses it and deals with their issues and don't keep passing it forward to the next generation that this is okay. I mean, I've seen it go to the point that, like, it's actually being, like, supported that somebody's a rapist in some aspect. Like, the community I was living in up in the hills in Lucy in Jamaica, there was this guy who had raped several people, and the cops were chasing him. But, like, the community, like, protected him and hid him away because, like, they had raised him since he was a little boy. So, you know, they helped this, like, protect him, even though he is going out and raping people. And so then it happened again within their community. Since he now was hiding out in the community and couldn't go elsewhere, his issue wasn't being dealt with. His problem wasn't being dealt with. So guess what? Now it happened within the community. And then the community did go after him. And, you know, took care of him. Which, you know, we also see that happen is people taking things into their own hands in the Caribbean, too, because the police don't always, you know, come out when you call.
Yeah, and that's significant. I think, I mean, the police, whenever, I just often feel like whenever it comes to women's issues or women's health issues, we're always kind of put on the back burner of everything, right? And so even with the police system, it's like you'll call, like, for instance, in Belize, like, people will call 911, they'll make a report, and oftentimes it takes a long time for them to even come out to see. I mean, by the time they get there, the person's probably gone or someone's already dead or beaten up really badly, you know?
Exactly.
And it's really sad because maybe, I don't know if it's a lack of enough police in the system that's trained, or if it's just that, hey, you know, there's this belief that, oh, well, the woman's going to go back anyway, so what's the point of us intervening? And a lot of them have this mindset that, well, you know, we're going to go out and intervene, and then she's going to drop the charges, or she's going to do this, or she's going to do that. So what's the point? And in my mind, I say it doesn't matter how many times she go back. Your job is to protect her when she needs it. And that's just how I feel. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if she goes back tomorrow. The fact is you were there today and you're there to say, hey, we're here to support you regardless, right? And so I get it, but at the same time, you know, the resources. And I think a lot of women, you mentioned earlier.
Before we leave the police topic, there's also so much corruption within the police. If that man is friends with the police, or his family is friends with the police, you know, they're not going to go after him. Or like somebody says, you know, just gives them a little money and says, you know, gets them to overlook it. So
you're absolutely right. Yes, and that's really huge within the Caribbean communities. You know, it's who you know, and it's unfortunate that they who you know. Like if you have someone who, for instance, you're a son. You know, you're a mother, and your son is abusive to someone, and he beats up his wife, and you're able to call the commissioner or, you know, the person that's in charge of that police precinct and say, hey, my son and his wife got into it. Don't arrest my son. And because you have that close relationship, when the person gets there, it literally will be overlooked. And that's just how it works. And it shouldn't work that way because there's not and that's one of the reasons why women don't report it, because they're like, what's the point? Because, you know, if I report it, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to go anywhere. And oftentimes these women stay in these situations because they're, you know, dependent. You know, they don't have any resources. There's probably a lack of shelters for them to go to. And then shelters already have like barriers. Oh, you can come. And some of them's like, you know, we only have room for this many people. If you're a mom of four kids and they can only take two of your kids, like how can you go there? Right. No, you have four kids.
You can't.
So there's all these barriers to leaving. And most people are like, if I leave, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
You know? And so the lack of resources.
I don't know about how it is in Belize, but in Jamaica, for sure, like, shelters are practically non-existent. There is, like, one shelter I know in Portland or in Port Antonio, but it's for more so for people with mental illnesses than domestic violence. There may be some domestic violence, some people who were there as a result of that, but majority of it is just focused on you know, mental illness, but I don't really know any others. There may be one in Kingston. I'll have to do a little bit more research, but yeah.
I mean,
you know,
there's not a lot of people
in this country, you know, other than in very suburban areas, you know, in the country, you might not see shelters here in this country, but, you know, in all the major metropolitan cities, we have to give thanks that, you know, we do have access to, you know, so many shelters and resources and options in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, I think even though I'm from Belize, I know that even being in the United States, I have, there's a lot of opportunities to learn certain things and to share it with the country. And I've taken opportunities to do that on several occasions. I will say that Belize is definitely progressive and they're trying to address the situation. I've had several conversations with the Office of the Special Envoy and, you know, they're trying to see how they can create some resources. However, it's still lacking, you know. There's still a need for growth in that area where, hey, how do we create more resources for women when they want to leave? Right? Because if I'm a woman, I have four kids, my husband is beating me, but I don't know if I can go to a shelter with all four of my kids. And if I do go to the shelter, how long am I going to be allowed to stay there? I don't have a job. So number one, I don't know how to feed my kids. I am completely 100% dependent on this man. And so how do I leave and know that my kids and I will be okay in a shelter if, you know, if they're saying, hey, well, if you come here, this is what you'll have to do or this is what's going to have to happen, right? And so it doesn't always work that way. And it's just trying to figure out all of that. And it can be difficult.
Kendra, can we talk a bit about some of the signs people might see to help them identify if somebody might be in a domestic violence situation? Because, you know, obviously it's really hard for some people to talk about it. They might be afraid that the man will come after them if they say anything to anyone, you know, various different, like, fears and anxieties around that. But if, you know, if we work with somebody or we're friends with somebody or, you know, what are some of the different things people can look out for to maybe try to help some people they might know in the community who might be in a domestic violence situation?
Sure. I mean, there's definitely a lot of different signs of domestic violence. I mean, for instance, if you're with somebody who is very controlling, right? Someone who wants to isolate you from your family, those are really telltale signs that, hey, you know what, you might be in some sort of abusive relationship. You know, is a person extremely jealous of you? Are they possessive? Right?
Mm-hmm.
These are signs to this. Some women think that
ladies,
that's cute.
And ladies,
oh,
even be thinking about these things when you're meeting men, too.
Exactly.
Have these be red flags.
They're trying to keep you away from your friends.
Yep. Any of these sort of things are like red flags, get away.
Run far away. The moment that, number one, they're trying to isolate you from your family and from your friends, they're accusing you, number one, of, oh, you're flirting or you're cheating with my friend or whatever. You know, they're wanting to constantly check on where you're at, what you're doing, even though they know that you have things to do. You probably have a job. You probably go to school. But they're constantly wanting to know where you're at. Another thing is them trying to tell you what to wear and, you know, how to look. Like, you know, you have your look. You don't need to change who you are, telling you what to wear, what not to wear. You know, trying to control who you go out with, who's your friends, who you see. You know, and, you know, sometimes it's like, they're manipulative, right? It's very manipulative. It's like, oh, they do these things and then they come back, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean it, or, you know, that's like the cycle of violence, right? But in the beginning phases, you'll see subtle little things like, you know, threatening to harm you or harm your pets or your, you know, threatening to harm your family or your friends and things like this. If you're with somebody who constantly make you feel like you're not doing anything right, like you're walking on eggshells, you need to be careful. That person is probably not a good person to be with. Another thing is look at how they treat other people, right? How do they treat the women in their family? Are they respectful of the women in their family? I mean, I know it's like, if that's important, right? You know, someone who's abusive is probably not very nice to their sisters or their brothers.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
or
their mothers, you know, or their mom, grandmother. They're probably very demeaning and mean,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that might have been a learned behavior from what they saw, right? And so you want to probably look at that. Another thing is they're manipulative in a way. When you try to leave, they'll threaten to harm themselves. Oh, I'm going to kill myself because you're leaving me. And it's the end of my world. And you're everything to me. That's how they probably get you, is that this is probably what you fall for every time, right? Like, oh, my God, you're everything to me. If you leave, I'm going to die, you know, all this stuff. And then you're like, okay, I forgive you, you know, and then it happens again a few months later and you just get trapped in that cycle, right?
Notice if you have a pattern of, you know, being with men who all do that same thing, start to recognize that so that you can step out of that. And because it's hard to get into once they trap you.
If you can identify it early,
sorry.
Yes, you run far away, please. You run the next direction if you see it, because you know what, they won't change. And you know, if you can have a conversation with an ex-girlfriend about them, I think go for it. You know, hey, what? Tell me about this person. Like, who is he? You know, ask questions, you know, hey, why did you guys break up? What happened? Like, I don't know, you know, and believe the ex, because you know what? They're exes for a reason. And I don't think if there's red flags, I'm sure our ex will be the first one to want to point it out.
Yeah. So true.
I mean, that's definitely something that you should listen to. And then, you know, all of this stuff, in the beginning, they're not going to physically hit you. They're probably just emotionally and mentally do things to you. But eventually, it leads to things like grabbing, pushing, shoving, shaking, punching you, slapping you, you know, shaking you, doing a lot of things that, you know, you're like, oh, my goodness. And I think some women get trapped because they paint a picture of this perfect person in the beginning, and then, you know, oh my goodness, this, how do I now go back and say this person is terrible? And here's the thing, a lot of men who are abusive, they come in and they're so nice, and your family, everyone is fooled, like, oh my God, he is perfect, he's this,
don't
behind
let that
closed
one
doors. Behind closed doors, you're like, wait a minute.
And story.
They're so good
they're
at really making you
charmers.
Fall in love with them.
Yeah, they're usually quite the charmers.
Yes, they are. Very, very
charming.
You know,
charming. I want to remind everyone that we're on Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the knowledge station. I have to remember to big up my station that's putting us on. You're listening to Soul Adventures Live, Inspiration for the Soul, Solutions for the Future, and today we are on with Dr. Kendra Flores Carter talking about the psychological effects of domestic violence. Back to you, Kendra.
Yeah, and you know, so thank you. I mean, I just think that there's definitely solutions that we need to think about as a community on how to address these issues. It's huge, you know. I think domestic violence is so huge to the point where our children grow up in environments that really consistently make them feel unsure of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to feel secure. We want them to feel like they can do anything they want to do. And when they grow up in a situation where they're constantly not sure what is happening, what is going on, you really raise children that have, you know, insecure personalities or, you know, insecure attachment, and they're really unsure of who they are because they don't know how to figure it out. They're constantly in fear that something bad is going to happen. They don't have hope to believe that, hey, this is something that I can do if I really want to do it, right? Because they grew up in such an inconsistent environment, such a dysfunctional environment. Now, how do they plan for themselves?
Kendra, I just want to jump in for a sec. So that is one way that children of domestic violence present, but there can be some other, you know, presentations or ways we can identify that a child is a victim of domestic violence. For instance, sometimes you see that person like being the bully or acting actually like they have a lot of confidence and, you know, exerting power, trying to exert power over other people because they feel powerless at home and they're repeating that cycle and putting that violence onto other people. So it might not just be, you know, the meek child who's kind of quiet unsure of themselves. Sometimes they go in the other extreme, you know,
and they act like they are very
confident and very controlling and want to control everybody. That's a situation where they feel like they can be in control.
Yeah, we find mainly in the research that, like, boys are more prone, boys who are exposed to domestic violence are more prone to become more aggressive. They kind of externalize their feelings, so they're more aggressive. They have more antisocial behavioral traits, whereas girls tend to be more, they tend to internalize their feelings more. Which might look like, you know, they have higher levels of depression symptoms and anxiety symptoms and trauma symptoms, right? So we know that boys tend to be more aggressive when it comes to their exposure, and there's an association with that. And girls, social anxiety is really huge with girls that are exposed to domestic violence. That's like something that's common that we see. And so It's but definitely.
Just keep in mind there can be girls who are bullies too. It does sometimes happen.
That is the way it most often happens,
but doesn't mean you won't see a girl who's like being aggressive as well.
Absolutely. And those are signs. And I think that's in school systems, I think if teachers recognize that, you know, kids are being really aggressive, we tend to just label them as bad kids instead of seeing, hey, what's really going on, right?
Right.
And that's a different topic.
Where are they seeing them?
Yeah, that's a different topic in itself, how schools could really help to address the issues.
Exactly.
Honestly, I think all schools should be screening for ACEs, you know, but that's a different topic. But yeah,
I'm gonna write that down. That might be another good show.
Yeah, they should be screening for ACEs because I think if they were to screen for ACEs, they would discover like all of these little kids that are in situations that are really major social issues, you know. Kids come to school a lot of the times, you know, they're probably living in environments where they're being sexually abused or they don't have a meal on their table because both of their parents are out of a job, or they don't have, you know, food to eat. But we would never know that because they come to school and it's not like we're asking how they're doing, right? You know, we're just teaching. And so the importance of really, I think school is a place where kids can, where we can find out a lot about what's going on in the homes, especially by talking to kids, you know. And then we can address the family issues, right? If they're experiencing domestic violence in the home, how do we maybe provide resources to help, you know, and some families probably do want help. So what do we do to help those families that really wants to help, right? We know that about 50% of households will have some sort of domestic violence issue, right, in the homes, if not more than 50%, right? And this is something that happens around the world. Millions of children around the globe is experiencing domestic violence or exposed to domestic violence in the home. And so it produces definitely poorer outcomes for children who grow up in those environments.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's definitely
with everything going on in the world over the last couple of years, there's been a major increase in domestic violence as well, because both parents and the kids all at home now, when they're used to you know, having some space away from each other and then coming back to each other, that they just don't know how to handle being with each other like all the time in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, with no break, it's like healthy to have those breaks. It's healthy to, you know, go out and interact with other people and have a break from our loved ones. And then when we come back, we appreciate them so much more.
Yeah.
So I think that has led to a big increase in domestic violence as well. And then, you know, people struggling, maybe they don't have work because of everything going on and, you know, short on the bills and, you know, all of this just increases stress, and then we see where it goes sometimes, unfortunately.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there's a systemic issue. There's a lot of systemic barriers to addressing the issue with domestic violence. Like we mentioned earlier, the police, right? Mm-hmm. We just talked about schools. We have to also see, hey, how do we, in Caribbean countries, we mainly have, like, ministry. You have Ministry of Human Development, Ministry of, like, Education, or Ministry of Human Service. Like, how do these ministries come together and really strategically plan how to address the problem, right? They need to develop ways, programs, intervention programs to really help families heal. And mental health, you know, like how do we address that? Because that's also a major issue with domestic violence household. I believe a lot of people who are perpetrators, Huh?
I think we're being called to develop these programs because they really.
I know. Well, I can't do it all, man.
No, certainly not. We need to call in other people to help. But this can be a forum where we can work on getting that movement started and call forward other people who'd like to help us on this mission because it definitely needs to be addressed. And I think there's probably plenty of people out there that do have concern about it. We've each started our own nonprofits and, have all sorts of things on our plate, but there isn't any reason we can't use this as a forum to call out people who are passionate about in this area and, play a role in helping to get that developed and get some systems in place to address these issues.
Yeah, I do think strongly that we can, I think one of the things is do we have systems in the Caribbean countries that want to bring on individuals that can really strategically plan and provide ideas on how to make the communities better. Like, for instance, I feel like if someone gets arrested for domestic violence and they go into the court system, like out here, like if someone gets if they're a perpetrator of domestic violence, they have to go to court. The judge orders them to go to anger management for 1 year. Like, literally 1 year you have to be in anger management and you have to pay for it. That's ordered by the judge. And then you have to answer to the judge. If you don't, you go to jail, right? And so so it's almost as if, hey, we want you to get better, and this is what you have to do. Right.
And then they're also put on lists that, maybe they can't get certain jobs or they can't do certain things because of that.
Exactly.
There
have to be consequences.
There
isn't consequences. There's not consequences. These men are not, or women, whoever the perpetrators are, they're not held accountable for hurting another human being, for killing another human being sometimes. They get away. I've seen people walk away for murdering their spouse. And you're like, how dare you? Or attempted murder, and they're walking away from that. Like, come on. Like, you don't need to walk away from that. You need to be held you need to be held accountable for hurting another human being, right? Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, my background is in hospital social work, and even if I see a domestic violence victim and I ask the question, was the children there? Did they see or hear? Mm-hmm. And they say yes, that's a report to Child Protective Services. Like, you get a report because your kids should not be exposed to that and they should not be seeing it. And if they are, you can report it to CPS, and CPS has to do something about it. Right? They have to go out to the home. They have to investigate what's going on. And I don't know if this is established within the Caribbean countries. I have no idea if this is. I don't think so.
I want to remind everybody that, sorry, I just have to do a little shout out to the station. I just want to remind everybody we're on CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show, The Knowledge Station. You're listening to Soul Adventures Live, Enlighten, Empower, and Entrust. We are here with Dr. Kendra Flores talking about the psychological effects of domestic violence. And we're talking about, some of the solutions and some of the things that can be done about it. I'm sorry that I didn't call this out earlier in the show, but I want to remind everyone that you can call in and ask questions and comment at 661-467-2407. We would love to take any of your questions, or, if you'd like to comment on any of these topics we've been talking about, feel free to call in. You're just going to hit 1 on your keypad, and that will alert us that you want to speak. All right, back to you, Kendra. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's fine. Speaking of solutions, I think that I can definitely offer myself. I have a background in social work. I do believe that the social, you do too, Rosie, the social work profession, we are called to do so many different things. And I think if people you know, are interested in really working with finding solutions and wanting to help people who are in situations like this go into a career of social work and figure out, you know, ways to create programs that could reach families, you know, and help individuals heal from the situation, help to build resiliency in the children that are suffering, you know, in households like this. And I think that we can come up with a lot of solutions to address the issue, but we just have to be open and willing to do that, right? And that will take a lot of effort on our behalf if we want to see that change. But it is 100% possible, because we know that our kids, again, if they're exposed to DV, they have poor outcomes in life if there's no interventions in between, you know? And so how do we figure out how to create resiliency and how to help children that are in situations like this, how to help women and even family structure, you know, how to help men learn and women who abuse learn how to develop new coping skills. You don't have to hit a woman. You don't have to emotionally and mentally abuse a man in order for you to feel like you're in control. You know, first of all, you shouldn't want to feel like you're in control, right? How do you learn different ways to cope where you're really helping each other grow as opposed to hurting each other, right? And I think that education is definitely probably number one, is how do we educate the community about DV, about the ramifications of not addressing DV, and really how it affects the future of our children. You know, our children grow up to be perpetrators if there's no intervention. They grow up to hit too. And you know, the difference today is that a lot of them take it a little bit further and, you know, end up hurting people significantly, sometimes even murdering people, right? And so it's out of control, and it's really, I can't begin to say the number of news that I see come out. Probably weekly there's a news release about domestic violence in Belize and someone who might have died or someone who might have been attacked by their significant other. It's an everyday ongoing thing.
Same in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
In this country too. You know, we don't always hear about it every day, but it certainly happens here too. Two things that I want to address, because I know we're getting close to the end. I mean, we can always go a little bit longer if we both have time. But one, which has been like briefly touched on, is that there's a lot of men that get abused too.
Yeah.
This one's really not talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, men are supposed to be strong. They're not supposed to cry. And like a man being abused by a woman, it's really difficult for them to come out and, you know, ask for help, you know, and make a week or, you know, all sorts of feelings.
Yeah.
But I want to address the fact that that happens out there too. So keep an eye out for that. And then also, you know, we talked about the police in the Caribbean. And even though we do have, you know, domestic violence programs, we've got counseling, we've got, you know, things in place in the court system where people are penalized and they're put on lists and they have to go to, you know, anger management and all of this, but there's certainly a lot of, you know, cops that, you know, even when you call them, don't want to address it, you know, the issue when you call them out to your house in this country as well. So even though we have systems in place, it still happens here. Yeah, it happens on a much broader scale in the Caribbean, but, you know, it's even still an issue here with everything we have in place.
Yes, it is. It is. It definitely is significant here in the U.S. as well. A lot of victims of domestic violence, and oftentimes, you know, one of the things I want to share is that domestic violence don't discriminate. Okay, you can be a lawyer, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor. everybody experiences it. It's across the socioeconomic status. You know, it's like women who are,
you know, racial groups.
It does not discriminate whatsoever, who experiences domestic violence. And so, again, you're not alone in this fight. There's a lot of people that's experiencing, but know that if you're in that situation, plan accordingly to get out. One of the things I don't encourage people to do is to announce that you're leaving. Don't do that, because 9 times out of 10, I mean, I can speak from personal experience with a coworker of mine who addressed that in the home with the person she was living with. I'm leaving you. I'm getting a divorce. And he killed her. So
wow.
You do not want to say that in the home and just say, I'm leaving you. You want to plan safely that you're leaving and you're making your exit, especially with people that are violent. Because when they feel like they're losing the battle, that's when they become more and more enraged.
Now, how about informing your children? Say you're planning to do this. You obviously want to give them an opportunity to, like, you know, grab some of their favorite toys and their favorite things and give them some preparation that they're leaving. But we also know that kids aren't very good at keeping secrets.
I wouldn't suggest telling the kids. I wouldn't suggest telling the kids at all what the plan is. You know, you can tell them, explain to them after. But what I encourage women to do or men to do that are in situations where they want to leave is that, hey, this is going to take a planning stage. So you're going to plan. You're going to have a safety plan for yourself. Find a confidant, a friend, someone that you can trust. You can pack a bag little by little. You stuff little things in there. Maybe put it at their house, this confidant's house. You leave it over there. You put all of your important papers. You gather everything over time. You don't try to do this on a one-day rush out the door seek. If you're really planning to leave, you probably have to do it gradually. And you know, this is like, you know, packing a bag with all of your important things and your kids' important things, and maybe dropping it off on a friend and making sure you have everything in place before you said, okay, you know, this is it. This is the last day. You don't even say that to them. I think they come home, you're just not there. But you've planned and you have enough resources to the point where, okay, you can say, I have enough to get me through maybe a month or two or whatever the case may be. But you don't just, if it's dangerous and you're able to abruptly just leave, then you do that for your safety and your kids' safety. But if you want to make sure that you plan something to where you have everything that you need, you keep that somewhere else where, hey, you left, now you know where to find your passports, your social security cards, your IDs, you know where to find everything.
Yeah.
It's going to be at that friend's house. You know, that confidence house where you know you can go and get it after you've exit, right? So, because in the heat of the moment, you're not going to be able to grab all of those things. You, in the heat of the moment, you're trying to survive. And so one of the things that I usually encourage people to do who are in situations where it's so unpredictable is you have all of your important things packed away and probably in somewhere else other than your home where you could find it, if you can have it protected if there's ever a moment where you just need to dash and leave. You just never know. Mm-hmm. And you have to plan a safe exit, because like you said, perpetrators who know they've lost the battle get really, really enraged and they really want to hurt you, right? You know, even kill you if you said this is it, right? And it's really sad, but that's, you know, situations where they kill you, you know, and the kids too. They kill everybody and themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
it's definitely something serious that we need to address more and find more better solutions.
So if somebody is in a domestic violence situation right now, or they know somebody who is, where would be the best place for them to find resources about, you know, shelters or services that might be available in their area?
Yeah, I mean, I know for Belize specifically, I've worked with Mary Opens Doors. I know they have a resource number that you can call. They also have a Facebook page, and there's, I believe, Haven House is another one in Belize, a House of Hope, I believe. There's a few places where you can reach out to in Belize. In the United States, of course, there's local 211 where you can call the 211 information line and you can find out about shelters in your area for sure.
National?
211, it's usually, there's a national domestic violence hotline in the United States as well. I can give you that number.
So the one you just said is California?
Yeah, California 211 hotline, yeah. It's United Way. You call 211, I believe. It used to be 411. I don't know if it's still 411, but I know for our county specifically, in San Bernardino County, it's like 211. L.A. County might still be 411, but you can call, and then they also have the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233, and that's for the United States. And again, for if you're in Belize, you want to call, look up Mary Open Doors, Haven Hope, Haven House, and also House of Hope, I believe. And those are places that really they have shelters. If they don't have openings, they might be able to direct you as to where you can go for help.
Nice.
So,
and
I don't know
in Jamaica. I don't know if it even exists. I'm going to have to do some research, and I'll have to, like, report back to you guys on the next show. But in the 15 years I've been working there, I have never encountered a domestic violence shelter. So I will do some research and get back to you guys on that one.
Yeah.
411 does work for Siskiyou County. I wasn't familiar with 211, but I'll have to try that and see if that works.
Yeah, 211 is also one. There's 411 and 211, and you can always reach out. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just making a little note of TV shelters in Jamaica so I can do a little research.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the more resources we can provide for families, the more we can help families, you know. Domestic violence is definitely a significant issue globally, and our children are the main ones that suffer in situations like that. And I just want people who are in that situation to understand that you're really not alone. You're not to blame. There is help available for you. Believe that you can get out the situation and have faith that you deserve better. You deserve better. You don't deserve to be with anybody that abuse you, anyone that makes you feel less than. And you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. You are worthy. And, you know, you deserve better. That's all, you know, that's what I can say. If I leave you with anything, know that you deserve better, and this is not your path.
So true. Give thanks for all these words of encouragement and, you know, knowledge that you're dropping with the peeps. I want to give thanks to our audience, everybody who's been listening in. I want to remind everyone we're on Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. I want to give them big up for, you know, providing us with this platform to get this information out there. what was it, on Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't recall, was the 2-year anniversary of us starting our radio show. I can't even believe that we've been doing this for 2 years already. It's pretty amazing. So I also want to do a shout out too, if, you know, anybody's interested in coming on the radio and sharing their knowledge, they're interested in offering online classes. Maybe we have some elders out there who would be interested in sharing their wisdom with the youth. Maybe there's some artists or poets who would like to get their work out there to the world. This is a place where you can do that. We're all about, you know, helping people discover their gifts and share them with the world. So give thanks for joining us today, and we will continue these conversations even after Mental Health Awareness Month is done. We think it's really important to have a platform where these topics can be talked about, and Caribbean population. You know, Kendra and I definitely, and, you know, obviously these are problems that need to be addressed in the U.S. and all over the world. And we're, you know, we're happy to give things that will help people in all places. But she definitely has a love for Belize. I definitely have a love for Jamaica and my Caribbean peoples. I can't wait to, you know, do some work in Belize. We actually are planning a summer camp for the summer of 2023 in Belize.
Yay!
So,
yeah!
And that's,
I'm excited. You know, I'm excited.
I am too. So that's with Soul Adventures in conjunction with Kendra's organization, Janet Don't Cry. We do have a property where we're going to be able to run that program at. If anybody would be interested in helping out or sponsoring in any way, please feel free to reach out to either one of us. You can find myself as Rosie Ware on Facebook or under Soul Adventures Foundation, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Our website is souladventures.org. That's souladventures. If you want to donate or sponsor our radio show, you can contact us, or you can just donate at paypal.me/souladventurers. You can donate on our website, our Facebook page. You can also link Dr. Kendra Flores Carter on both Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. So I give thanks for everyone joining us. I give thanks for this platform and having Dr. Kendra here with us today. I don't know. Anything else you want to share, Kendra?
I just want to share that the Janet Don't Cry Foundation will be doing a back-to-school drive. I'm going to be working with the Belize Brain Awareness Society and with Peace Work Belize with Dr. Carol Bob to really be collecting backpacks and school supplies that I can send down for kids in Belize as the school, you know, semester begins at end of August. And I want to kind of work over the summer, start collecting those donations and really sending them down so that, you know, some kids could get some stuff for school. So if you're interested, link me and DM me, and I'll definitely reach out and let you know how you can send the supplies. So thank you.
Yay. Give thanks. Give thanks for, you know, how much we've grown over all of these years and, you know, all of this, you know, knowledge and good works we're doing in the world to, you know, help inspire others. If there's any young people out there that have an interest in following in our footsteps and, you know, either starting a nonprofit or working in the social work field, Soul Adventures, Janet Don't Cry, have been offering scholarships to young people. And I know through the University of Kendra that they've been offering scholarships.
Thanks for reminding me, Rosie. I can talk a little bit about that. I've been sponsoring for probably 5 years now, a high school student through Children First and Last Belize. Every year I give like a scholarship donation to Children First and Last to Leave, to really and truly help a high school student go through high school and pay their registration and tuition. And so now I really wanted to do it on a larger scale. And so I am a professor, and I work at a university in Riverside. And through the university, California Baptist University, we are now, our social work department have created an actual fund for the University of Belize Social Work Department. So we're going to be sponsoring two students to go to the University of Belize for bachelor's degrees. And so we're sponsoring them, and I really want to make this a continuous thing, which is why I'm promoting the educational scholarship fund to like the Belizean diaspora or even the Caribbean diaspora. If you really want to help kids in the Caribbean gain education, please, you know, reach out and donate. I think the best way that we can improve and build capacity for our Caribbean communities is through education. And with educating these social workers, they can become innovative in creating programs to address the social issues like domestic violence, right? And so I think we're really helping to be proactive in a sense to build a capacity to educate more minds in the country of Belize to help with solving and really trying to work towards innovative ideas to really and truly help some of the issues that are occurring in the nation. So I'm really happy and excited about this because now I get to help on a larger scale and be so much more impactful by helping people to gain, you know, a college education, right? And so thank you for allowing me to kind of, you know, put that out there.
For sure. And Soul Adventures also has been sponsoring some young people, mentoring them and sponsoring them through school. We're mostly focusing on the college level. So we have two students that we're currently helping in school in the U.S., one that's at Howard University and another that's at school in Canada. So if anybody in Jamaica or in our California, Florida, St. Croix areas that are interested in being mentored and maybe getting some scholarships to help you in school, especially if you're interested in, you know, psychology, social work, I mean, we certainly will help people in other areas as well, but we definitely want to pull forward some youth who would really like to help us on this mission that we're currently talking about of helping with the mental health issues and domestic violence issues in the Caribbean. So yeah, that's what I've got for today. Also, if you guys have particular areas of interest that you would like to hear about, you'd like to hear us talk about, feel free to leave a message. Oh, I forgot to mention there's also a Soul Adventures Live Facebook group and a Soul Adventures Live Tribe, which are the people behind the scenes that, you know, help line up people for the show and, you know, can help out in other ways, help with flyers, getting a sponsor, just different things like that. So if you would like to always stay on board on what's happening on Soul Adventures Live, please go ahead and join that group. And if you like to get involved on a higher level and, you know, you would like to teach a class or come on the radio show, you would like to help out doing flyers or promotion, any of that, please feel free to join our Soul Adventures Live tribe. Yeah, so that's, I think that's all I've got for today. We're ready to go hop on the road. We're going on a little adventure, my son and I, so that'll be fun. So you are listening to Soul Adventures Live, Inspiration for the Soul, Solutions for the Future, our weekly internet radio show hosted by myself, Empress Rosie, on Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, The Knowledge Station, And we were here today with Dr. Kendra Flores Carter, and we will be coming back with more shows in the near future.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to our audience. Everyone have a blessed day and give thanks for coming out. We're going to close out with Alpha Rowan, the youth them. Yes, I. Blessed love, everyone.
Well, it's all about them youth, yeah. Well, I demand the future. All about the youth, them. Well, wow, yeah, yeah. The youth, them, have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no not make them do something, they me pull trigger and press wrong button, yeah. The youth, them, have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no make them do something, they me pull trigger and press wrong button, yeah. They will find work, see, and the idle mode. Positive to keep them on a bridle. Upward mobility, nothing with stifle. Goals are the future, people. I mean, said doors of opportunity, open them wide. Make them achieve them ambitions with pride. Be careful how you come and push them one side. A later you have to run and go hide. How cause the youth them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no not make them do something, let me pull trigger and press wrong button, yeah. The youth them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no not make them do something, let me pull trigger and press wrong button. The youth them full of vigor, them strong. Can't get to do right, then we go to wrong. We don't have a new to be constructive. They might end up being destructive. And me say please answer the leaders, they gonna do frustrate them. Free up the good knowledge and to educate them. Can't just leave them every day at skylock. For the nation's future got dark. Oh, cause the youth them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no make them do something, they me pull trigger and press wrong button, yeah. The youth them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. If you no make them do something, they me pull trigger and press wrong button. The youth, yeah, all of them have to do a future. Me say the youth them, be careful how you treat them. Me say them youth. Treat them once again, yeah, yeah. They will find work, sticky hands with idle, but positive move, keep them on a bridle. Upward mobility, nothing with stifle. Goals are the future, people. Please, now ask on the leader, they gonna do frustrate them. Free up the good knowledge and to educate them. Can't just leave them every day at skylock. At the nation's future go dark. Oh, yeah, yeah. The youth, them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. And if you no make them do something, they be pull trigger and press wrong button, yeah, yeah. The youth, them have to do something. Them can't sit down and do nothing now. And if you no make them do something, they be pull trigger and press wrong button. Them are youth, yeah, 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 yeah. Them are youth, yeah. Well, them are few.